everybody, and welcome into episode number 384 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Allie. Allie is here, host extraordinaire. Allie, how's it been going?
It's so much fun. I love getting to know all of our virtual friends.
Have you've been hosting trivia a bit? Is there anything that you've noticed is a big difference from hosting virtually to hosting in person?
Oh man, technology and breakout rooms, it's all pretty crazy. But what I've noticed is that there's some groups that really like to chat a lot and some groups that don't like to chat as much. And so it's really interesting to get to have those conversations and still host trivia and have all the enthusiasm that we've always had.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a good icebreaker that you use? You know, somebody might be able to steal that and use it at their next happy hour, trivia or no trivia, but good icebreakers are always hard to come by.
I haven't tried any with trivia. I usually like to ask people why they're there. And it's always funny when two people have different responses. So that's a good one. But I always like to also ask people what they're drinking. And that can always have fun times. I think I was hosting one a couple weeks ago and somebody was drinking a alcoholic Kirkland popsicle. So that was a lot of fun.
The dream, the summer dream. Cool. Well, you have an interesting fact, as does Michael, Nick, and myself. So Nick, why don't you start us off today, just because I happened to make eye contact with you a second ago.
That's why I try not to look people in the eye. All right. So I have in front of me, it's always fun to have lists of things, right? I have in front of me a list of the top nine because, you know, if you're going to make a top list, why bother going to 10? The top nine most expensive man-made things.
Oh, I feel like you always have the most expensive list. I feel like that's been a theme for you and just very on brand, so to speak.
Yeah, well, anytime I see a list that's like, this is the most of anything, I'm like, oh, that's great. And I just save it for later.
Cool. So where do we begin?
So my question, and I'm going to leave out the cost, like when I'm writing the question in our little notes for the production notes, it's going to have a like range of cost in it. But what is number one on the list? What is the most expensive object built by humans?
An ounce of Lindsay's patience.
That's like the little infinite loop.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, there's no dollar value on that. But it's a man-made object. And it is very expensive. And this is adjusted for inflation.
Is okay. It single? Is it like a single thing? So if it was a building, would it be a specific building or?
Correct. It's not like 100 million Kirkland alcoholic popsicles.
I'll take a shot, though I probably am off. One of the Fabergé eggs that's out there.
Fabergé eggs. That's a great guess. Not on the list. Okay. Not even close. Fabergé eggs are worth, you know, millions of dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Does the cost of making something only include materials or is it time and materials? So is labor included in the cost?
Labor is included in the cost. Yeah.
Right. My guess is then going to be a rocket ship or shuttle of some sort.
Okay.
Something that goes into space.
Like the Falcon X rocket or something along those lines.
Yes.
Okay. Lindsay?
I felt like the International Space Station kind of felt like something that should be very, very expensive, but I don't know if it's the most expensive thing ever. I'm trying to think of what I know of skyscrapers, and I don't know a lot about them except that they're tall and expensive and
much like myself.
Do you also need to be wary of the wind, Michael?
Very much so. Wind shear is a very real thing in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, so I was trying to think of like a specific skyscraper, but I kind of want to throw it in a totally different direction. And Allie, this is coming from a fact that I had a few weeks ago where a woman just became one of the first people to both be at the International Space Station and go to Challenger Deep, the deepest part of the ocean, right? And so she did both, you know, tallest and lowest things for mankind. Very, very cool. And so I'm thinking that underwater is so expensive to move and build. And I know that there's a series of like telecommunication lines and underwater communication methods. And I feel like that if you're going so far, that has to be super duper expensive. Is it more expensive than the space station? I don't know. Is it more expensive than X, probably some skyscraper that I don't know about that has, you know, gold plated windows? I don't know. But I'm going to say some sort of underwater wiring system. And that will be my guess.
Okay. All right. So the good news is one of you is super close.
Oh.
So Lindsay, your underwater transatlantic data cable, the big one that was installed, you know, whenever it was, like 2011 or something like that, was about $300 million. So
that doesn't seem high enough.
Yeah, extremely expensive, but not quite there.
Is it on the list?
It is not on the list. No. No. The largest, the most expensive building that has ever been built, there's a lot of debate on this. And the reason I like this question is not because the list is absolutely perfect, but it's because the top of the list is so far and above anything else, it can't be wrong. you have like the Burj Khalifa Hotel and apartment building, which was $1.5 billion. But the number one on the building list was the One World Trade Center, which came in at like $3.9 billion to build. So it's a pretty expensive piece of real estate. There are two airports on the list, at number eight and number four, respectively, are Heathrow in London and the Hong Kong International Airport in Hong Kong.
Beautiful airport.
Yeah, the Heathrow terminal was $3.6 billion, and the Hong Kong airport was $29 billion. They basically had to build an island in order to build the airport on. So that went into a lot of
expensive.
Yeah, three of the top 10 that are on this list are in England. You've got the, like I said, the Heathrow Terminal and the London Crossrail, which is essentially a metro system. The London Crossrail cost $21.6 billion. And the Hinkley Point C nuclear power station was $35 billion.
Only $35 billion. What a bargain.
Exactly. Number two on the list is the Gorgon Liquefied Natural Gas Plant in Australia. Which,
sure. Oh, okay. I don't know how I missed that.
Right. No, I know that was Michael's second choice. It was either that or the Fabergé egg. None of you were going to get that. It was $54 billion. The Large Hadron Collider, as a example, was just a paltry $5.8 billion to build. Right. So might as well get two or three of those. But the number one on the list, which comes in somewhere, there's a little bit of debate on this, but again, so far and above everything else, somewhere between $110 and $160 billion is the International Space Station. So, Lindsay, you were 100% correct, but that wasn't your guess. So I'm going to have to give this one to Allie as being the closest without going over as far as some sort of rocket goes. So there you go.
Congratulations, Allie. This goes back to that old trivia adage that you got to trust your gut. You know, a big giant building floating in space should be the most expensive thing that mankind ever made, you know, has ever made.
Yep.
That is very logical. That was my gut. And I was like, nah, I'm going to go totally different.
Yeah.
You got to trust your gut.
So I asked this question to my wife and she basically said, her first guess were the pyramids, right? Adjusted for inflation, those would be incredibly expensive.
They're not paying for labor.
The flip side I said was free labor, so that, you know, that cuts the cost down a lot.
Yeah. Oh man. So the International Space Station. Wait, what was the total amount for that again?
It's somewhere. So current estimates put it around $160 billion.
Wow.
So it's just a little bit of money.
Just a wee bit.
Right. So now the one of the fun things is that I was reading an article that had the cost breakdown. That was of the $160 billion, $100 billion of it was from the United States, $15 billion of it from Russia, and then like Canada and Japan also paid some money. that was pretty much how the breakdown went.
I can't stop picturing. We're rewatching Archer, and we just got to the space station episode. I don't know if you guys have seen that show, but that is all I can picture is just how much money they would spend in the space station. Right. The cast of Archer. But anyway, who's got a segue from most expensive things, space, to their fact? Michael, Allie, what do you got?
we got a lot of not me.
Okay, I can actually segue if you guys don't have a good one.
Well, I'm going to give you guys a choice on mine, so go ahead and make your segue.
Okay, so we're talking about most expensive things, and because they are so expensive, they are extremely rare, right? So you have only one Heathrow Airport. There's only one Hong Kong Airport. There's only one International Space Station, right?
Yep.
So they are rare things. And my fact today is about rare feats in baseball. Ooh, what I did there?
Okay. Baseball's back.
Baseball's back. Go Angels.
Baseball is back. I'm hopeful that, well, actually, I wouldn't be mad if my fact got changed to rarity that I think it would be really cool. So I want to talk about something that is super duper duper rare, and that's the triple play.
Okay.
This is one of the only things I know about baseball. I'm not a big baseball watcher. I'm a big sports person. Baseball is not one of my sports. But I'm pretty sure we've had a question before about a triple play, and I did a lot of Googling on it.
Oh, then you're ready to go. Will Allie go 2 for 2? That is the question.
Not a big baseball person, but managed to scoff when I said Angels.
Right, yeah,
go
she knows
Nats.
Enough.
Go Nats.
Other powers, I can support them both.
The defending World Series champion, Washington Nationals. But I digress. So I want to know, first off, this isn't my actual question, but we're going to lead into it. So how many triple plays have there been since 1876? So total triple plays in Major League Baseball history.
Shoot. Okay. Are we going to really do math, or do we just want to throw out numbers?
I assumed this was something that Nick would have off the top of his head, quite frankly. I was hoping he'd come through on this.
I actually don't. I know that even rarer than the triple play is the unassisted triple play, and I would guess that there's been less than 15 of those. So, I don't know, like 300. Let's call it 300.
Oh, I was thinking two digits. I was thinking like 80.
Okay. Yeah, I was just...
Allie, what do you think?
How many do you think per season is my question? One?
Probably 5 or 6, I would guess.
Okay, so what year are we talking, Lindsay?
So since 1876, so how many total triple plays have there been?
Well, if you're 18, that's 150-ish years, and you do 5 or 6 a year minus the years that there wasn't baseball, there's probably like 500 or 600.
Okay.
Yeah. Allie, once again, you're the closest. So 719 triple plays in Major League Baseball since 1876. I think that's pretty interesting. It's a rare thing, but it has happened to the Nats a few years ago. And Nick, my follow-up, I have multiple questions about this because I think it's super duper interesting. So how many unassisted triple plays have there been out of that 719? So unassisted, one guy gets all three outs. How many unassisted triple plays have there been? I give you the number that it is less than 719.
Right.
Wait. An unassisted triple play is one guy recording all three outs?
Yes.
How does that even happen?
Okay, so for example, if you are a third baseman and you get a like a one bounce hot shot.
Sure.
Right? Or no, I'm sorry. So you're a third baseman.
This,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so basically, Michael, it's a caught line drive. They touch the base and tag the runner. And that's been the majority of the unassisted plays. So for the most part, it's all second baseman, first baseman, and shortstops. Shortstops and second baseman have had the most. But yeah, caught line drive, touch the bag, tag the runner. And so how many times has that happened?
Just because I've been without baseball for as long as I have, I assumed it was like the third baseman tagging third and then running to second. And running back. I was just like, wait.
Yeah. So I think I have to go with my original guess and say it's like 15. It's low double digits would be my guess.
All right. 15. Allie, what do you got?
Statistically, out of like 700, I'd probably venture into the 20s or 30s. I'll say 32.
Cool. Michael?
One.
One.
I'll say like a lot 40. Of running.
Yeah. I was just going to cut you off because Nick hit the nail on the head. There's been 15 unassisted triple plays in Major League Baseball history. 15 unassisted. For reference, perfect game obviously is, you know, up there in terms of baseball stats. There's been 23 perfect games in MLB history. So the unassisted triple play, rarer than a perfect game. I thought that was super duper interesting. About 5 triple plays a season, generally occur for that average. So Allie, you are spot on. And my last and final question for you guys, how many times have there been multiple triple plays in one game?
That has to be less, doesn't it? Less than the 15?
Yeah, like 3 tops.
Yeah. 1 or 0. Okay. 1 or 0.
I'll go with 4 just to play the game.
Allie, you hit it spot on again. Oh. It has only happened one time in the history of Major League Baseball until inevitably this podcast in like the 4 days from this podcast. Right. Till
it's going to happen tonight.
Recording. Oh, it'll happen. Yeah. It'll happen over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I honestly wouldn't be even mad about it because it's such a rare feat. So, and this didn't happen like early on in Major League Baseball history. This wasn't like turn of the 20th century. This happened in 1990. So 30 years ago, but still in the modern era of baseball, but only one time. It was the Twins against the Red Sox, 2 triple plays, a 5-4-3, which is the most occurrence. It's like 13% of triple plays are 5-4-3. So the third baseman, the second baseman, or the first baseman. So bonus, yeah. All your baseball facts coming at you to get ready for the start of the season.
So Lindsay, I love this type of trivia, right? The super rare, like especially sports related and stuff. And I have had conversations about this with baseball friends of mine in the past. And we theoretically came up with a way to do an unfielded triple play where the ball goes up. It's an infield fly. The runner on first passes the runner on second, being out for passing the runner ahead of you. And then when the ball comes down, it hits the other runner, which is interference, which is an out. So theoretically, nobody on the defensive team could touch the ball and you could still get a triple play.
I don't know if that is true, but it sounds like a really fun dream.
Yeah.
How does the first out get recorded then if it's a pop fly, if none of the fielders catch it?
Infield fly rule.
You can't drop something on purpose to record a double play.
Correct. You can't drop something on purpose, but if it's by accident, the infield fly rule still plays. And if the ball hits the runner on the way down, that's interference. Both outs count.
Got it.
I don't know if that'd be interfering. I got to look up some more specific rules, but I am all for extremely rare things occurring. So I'm down.
You know what? Bonus fun. Lindsay, it's 2020. You shut your mouth.
You're right. You're very right. Okay. So Allie, Michael, who's got the segue from baseball and rare things into your facts?
I can finagle baseball, actually.
Oh, all right. So, let's hear it.
When you're watching a baseball game, you usually grab a drink at the stadium. So my fact has to do with drinking. I'm a really big fan of whiskey, and I found this fact, and I was so intrigued by it that I had to do a bunch of digging. So my question is, which country is the largest consumer of whiskey?
Ooh.
Whatever country I'm in.
Yeah, I was gonna say between me and Nick.
Add me to the
next
man.
Allie, this is perfect because last week we did a consumption of beer per capita, and so now we're doing consumption of whiskey, and I think it's just that's perfect because we really got to cover all these bases, especially while everyone is stuck at home and with very stocked liquor cabinets,
or starting to get unstocked, as I'm finding.
Yes. Yeah.
So is this per capita or is this total consumption?
It is not. It is total consumption.
Ooh, okay. So that changes things because my initial guess would have been Scotland. And I feel like if it's just total consumption, I mean, maybe that's still possible, but I feel like the U.S. might have a little bit of an advantage just population-wise.
Well, Scotland also isn't a country, so that's...
Oh.
Let's not get into this debate. The UK is so confusing.
UK is its own thing in this whole mix. All right.
Right.
I just have a quick technical question. We are including bourbon and scotch as part of these, part of the whiskey. Okay, good. Just checking.
Okay, Allie, for my next country guess, though.
Yeah.
I'd like to guess Kentucky as my country. It's as much of a country as Scotland, according to you, which is fair and correct.
It's obviously Paris. So if it's not adjusted for per capita, you just gotta go for the big ones, right? It's either China, the U.S., or India.
I don't think it's India. My guess is China.
Why not India?
My experience being there, it was just...
You didn't have a lot of whiskey?
Not a lot of whiskey from what I could remember from me being in India.
I don't know. I would stick to the U.S. would be my guess.
All right. So Michael, China, Lindsay, U.S. That means I get to go India.
Within the constraints that you set up for yourself, you're like, these are the three options.
Right.
Everyone has to pick an option. And you're right. It is India.
Hey.
The interesting thing about this fact and the reason that I love it so much is that India has one of the largest non-drinking populations in the world. Only about 15% of adults in India actually drink alcohol. But India accounts for about, in 2018, they accounted for about 45% of global whiskey consumption, which is a huge number compared to them. But you're on the right track with France, because France, 95% drink alcohol, and I believe they're the highest whiskey drinkers per capita.
Wow.
Okay, 45% of total, that's an absurdly large percentage of the total amount.
Yeah.
Right? But it's controversial too. And the reason that I chose consumption over production is that India makes their whiskey from molasses, which means that it's technically rum in other countries, except they add a thin line of malt whiskey to the top of it so that they can call it whiskey and so that it tastes better. So it's a fascinating, it's like a very different type of whiskey.
Huh.
Huh. So it's just rum with a whiskey floater, and then they just call it whiskey.
Basically, but there's like enough mixed in that many countries consider it, but the world whiskey in the EU does not consider it whiskey. So they won't import it as whiskey, which is interesting.
Okay, there's only one way to test it. We need to get both of these things and taste tests
done
so we can determine what really it is. Because, my palate of normally Natty Lights and Jose can really be the one to tell this.
Right. I think the bottom line is it's quarantine. Alcohol is alcohol. I'll take it.
The answer is yes.
I don't know, man. I had a rubbing alcohol screwdriver the other morning. And
don't drink
alcohol.
And I think, Lindsay, that's our secret phrase. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes is the secret phrase. The answer is yes, the secret phrase. Also, we'd like to note that we don't know either, and City Trivia Inc. do not endorse drinking any sort of rubbing alcohol. That is your disclaimer. All we want you to do is just say the answer is yes to actual consumable products. The answer is yes, your secret phrase. So, Michael, it is all down to you to do your segue from Allie to you. Let's hear it.
Well, I don't have a segue, but I'm going to give you guys actually a choice. I came prepared today with two facts, very unlike me, but I will give you guys the choice of either celebrity plane crashes or Excel spreadsheets.
Excel spreadsheets.
Celebrity plane crashes, because I know something about that.
Lindsay, you're the decider here.
Oh, I know nothing about excel, except I do say that I'm proficient on it just when I'm talking to people about it or any sort of resume situation. I can do that some column, like it is. Oh man, that's some column. Whew, I'm an expert in that. But also celebrity plane crashes, Michael. I think that I know that fact that you're going to talk about just based on knowing you and where you look for your facts and what I also discovered. So I'm going to leave it to our guest, Allie, and go with our Excel spreadsheet fact. All right.
Okay, great. Excel spreadsheets. I will save celebrity plane crashes for another time. In a single worksheet on Excel, Microsoft Excel, what is the total number of cells?
Can't you always create more cells?
No. So the rows and columns do eventually max out.
All right, I got an idea. All right, I'm taking the GMAT now, so fast math has become my my favorite pastime.
Fast math, the worst kind of math. Well, actually, I guess fast math would be the best kind of math if you were talking to me specifically. That's fair. Well, Mike, I know that there are videos online of people like trying to scroll to the bottom of Excel, and they've gone on for like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And I don't think that that helps me at all, except to say that the number is a lot.
Yes. To give you guys just a little bit of help, if you can get it within the nearest 100 million.
My iPhone calculator doesn't go that high.
100 million. I don't even know how you would like start to guess. So I'll just say 1 billion.
Okay.
I'm doing math.
Never do math live, Nick. You taught me this.
I'm going to say, so using game theory and using Michael's range and using what I know of Michael when he crafts trivia questions,
The rare exceptions where it happens.
Yeah. I'm going to say, just for a nice round number, that there's a million rows on a spreadsheet. Okay. And then as far as columns go, since the columns are lettered instead of numbered, right? After you go A to Z, then it goes double A, you know, double or A, B, A, C, and so on and so forth. If you were to get somewhere around like 20,000 columns in, the width of the column would be so many letters that you couldn't do it. So I'm going to say 20 billion. So 20,000 times a million.
Okay.
I'm going to say 176 billion.
Okay. So Nick, I think, is the closest.
Okay.
There are just over a million rows. So 1,048,500, give or take.
Okay.
And then 16,000 columns, coming out to a grand total 17,179,869,184 cells.
Follow-up question.
Yes.
What is the last lettered column?
I have that. I thought you would ask that. I have it. XFD.
Is that all it is? Okay.
It taps out before Z?
It taps out before triple Z.
That is a lie. I'm writing a letter to Excel saying some consistency. I was expecting more. Is it because... Do we know why it taps out at that size? Is it like file size, or just they decided to end it before the triple Z?
It's gotta be file size. I don't see
what was the number of rows? 1,040,000 something, you said?
Yeah, 1,048,000, just over.
That's a weird number, right? Is it 1,048,000 even?
No, it's 1,048,576.
Yeah, no, screw you, Bill Gates.
It's gotta be data limit. And by the way, this is a single spreadsheet. So if you ever need that much data, man, open a second spreadsheet.
Okay. But Nick, this all makes sense though, because if he's gonna be tracking us with the vaccines, he's gotta have a way to sort all that data. So really we're gonna get up to like couple billions of entry into the spreadsheet. Obviously, right. It all makes sense, man. It's coming together.
God,
that brings so many more questions, because when you have that type of data, you always want more rows than columns. Columns don't make sense. This is confusing to me. This is unacceptable.
So here's the real question. Could you imagine being the person that spent all the time to create a 1,048,576 row spreadsheet and you need one more row to finish?
You put it in a different sheet and you do a view lookup, all right?
Tabs. There are tabs at the bottom.
Ay. Okay, well, Michael, that was a good fact. You were wonderful, and hopefully by the time next week your plane crash fact, I will forget about, so you can use it, which is fair. But Allie, thanks for joining us. Again, you can hire us and City Trivia for your virtual private event, so birthday parties, baby showers, retirements, company team building, whatever, and Allie very well may be your host. But this is going to do it for this edition of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Allie.
And we don't know either.
Bye.